But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Be to God.
So I'd love to invite Bishop Esther back down here, and I'd love to pray for you as you bring God's word to us. I have to say, when I was having a little look at actually what the ordinal says about what bishops are meant to do, one of the things it says is that they're meant to feed God's people. So I'm going to pray that you would help us to feast on God's word together this morning. Heavenly Father, do thank you for bringing Bishop Esther here to us this morning, and pray that you would anoint her words by your Holy Spirit, that she would help us to feast on what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that word, Becca, because I feel like I've got a spread of things. So that idea of coming to a table to feast, I find very helpful. Thank you very much. How many of you have heard the rumors about the quiet revival? Yeah? So who hasn't heard the rumors about the quiet revival? Okay. So for context, there was research done by the Bible Society, which is showing a new move of the Spirit, where particularly young people, Gen Z, and particularly boys, actually, are coming to faith. And I saw this as vicar of St. John's Egham. And the key difference, I would say, in the last 18 months or so, is before, most of the people that were coming to faith, coming to church, one of us could claim that it was because of us, you know, my brilliant leadership, or I invited him, I had a conversation at Tesco's or whatever. But what seems to be happening now is people coming, having encountered God with no interference from us, if I can put it like that. People turning up, people curious. This is really wonderful news. And for those of us that are watching the signs, in our day, could it be? So really exciting. And yet, for most of us, if we are honest, the Christian faith feels like such a contested thing. Am I alone in this? With ever decreasing circles, and we wonder how we can hold on, personally, but also corporately as a church. How do we stay faithful when the cultural tide seems to be against Christian conviction? How do we remain hopeful when the church is facing confusion, compromise, and what feels like moments of real crisis. How do we keep trusting in Jesus, loving his people, living out the gospel with humility, courage, and joy? Well, some of these questions are precisely what Jude is trying to address. How do we contend for the faith? I don't know about you, but that word contend, did you see what I did with my hands there? I didn't even think about it. But it makes you think about fighting, doesn't it? Interestingly, that's not the way that Jude goes. He is asking us to contend for the faith, but perhaps in a surprising way. The letter of Jude is short, it's urgent, and it's deeply pastoral. It is written to a church a bit like ours that's bewildered by false teaching, disoriented by pressure from within and without. And yet Jude doesn't tell the church to panic or to fight like this in a worldly way. Instead, he calls them and calls us to a beautiful, hopeful, Christ-centered contending. And the passage we heard just now is the climax of this, where Jude gives us three things to hold on to as we contend for the faith. The first one is remember the truth. Remember, remember, remember. The second, build yourselves up in God's love. The third, reach out with mercy. And the wonderful news is that Jude doesn't give us these essentials to hold on in a vacuum. They come with this wonderful assurance that God himself will hold us or keep us, as the song that we have just written and our learning says. So let's look at each one of them in turn, and keeping that image of a feast, come to the table, and the first plate is this wonderful meal called Remember the Truth. Remember the Truth. So verses 17 to 19, Jude begins, "Dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. In the last times, there will be scoffers who will follow their own desires." And he goes on. "There are false teachers who will create confusion. They'll be divisive, self-centered, self-interested, and shaped by the instincts of the world. And the church was in danger of feeling caught off guard, surprised, disheartened, and unsure about what to make of it." And so Jude says, remember. Remember that Jesus warned us that there will be voices that distort the gospel. So don't be surprised. He prepared us for this. Remember what the apostles taught. And remember that the challenges to faith are not signs that God has lost control. See them as an invitation to lean on what he has already spoken. Remember. Have you ever wondered why God instituted so many festivals in the Old Testament? They were to to serve as a reminder of their story with God. Forgetfulness is one of the greatest spiritual dangers. We forget the story we are a part of. We forget what God has already said. We forget who he is. And so Jude's first instruction about contending is not to argue harder or shout louder or retreat further into ourselves, but to remember the eternal truth, the ancient words that anchor us. So for today, maybe for us, this means returning to Scripture as the norm for truth. People can say all sorts of things about all sorts of things, but the bottom line is, where does your authority come from? And we all have to choose. I choose Scripture. What do you choose? Return to Scripture. Let the voice of Jesus be louder than the voices around us. And not that Jesus that we like to create, who is lovely and easy to handle, but the Jesus of the Scriptures. I'm going to say something off script, which I may regret. But someone describes themselves as a red letter Christian. I only do what Jesus says. In reality, they mean the lovely things. And my response to them once was, to be honest, if I were to choose between Paul and Jesus for softness, I might go to Paul. Jesus is not as soft as we like to think he is. He's loving, don't get me wrong. But grace and truth meet together in him. And that truth is strong. And we need to allow the apostles' teaching, Jude is telling us, to shape our instincts, our worldview, our way of being in the world. And guess what? That will often mean we're going against culture. But that shouldn't come as a surprise, surely. I often say that I think one of the greatest sins of our generation is that we have judged ourselves morally superior to God. We are more loving, kinder, etc. Contending for the faith always begins with remembering who he is, who we are, and whose we are, and allowing his story, his truth, to shape our lives. So that's the first thing. Remember. Our second plate is build yourselves up in God's love. Jude continues with one of the most beautiful pastoral exhortations in the New Testament. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Usually that word contend makes us think we are concentrating on those people who are wrong and pushing them back. And yet, Jude is saying, concentrate on yourselves. The posture isn't about pointing the finger. The church contends best by being spiritually alive. Isn't that a much better posture? Be spiritually alive. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. And it's communal language. It's not just build yourself up. But Elmden, build yourselves up together. Grow together. Support one another. Encourage, sharpen, challenge. Not spending our energies on the people who are getting it wrong out there, but working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Contending is the shared life of a community shaped by scripture, worship, and mutual encouragement. And I wonder what that might look like here. What might it look like for you guys to say, we want to be spiritually alive? That's how we contend for the faith in our generation. What might it look like? Well, according to Jude, it might look like praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, meaning praying in alignment with the Spirit's leading. And in case your mind went there, yes, it might mean praying in tongues, but more than that, lining up with the Spirit's leading, empowered by his power and his presence. That kind of praying softens us. It strengthens us. It keeps us humble. When a church prays together, it stays spiritually alive. If you are missing from your prayer meetings, you are making it harder for Elmden to be spiritually alive. I want to commend the Bishop's Prayer Network to you. If you don't know what it is, ask Becca. Otherwise, I might go on for too long. It's not just for individuals, but we want to encourage churches to join us 4 times a year, 24/7 prayer. It's saying, as a diocese, we want our posture to be prayerful. And as your bishops, we are saying this matters to us. It matters enough that we are putting it in the diary. What might it look like to build yourselves up? Pray in the Spirit and keep yourselves in the love of God. This is the center of it all, isn't it? Contending isn't some kind of doctrine in abstraction. We contend because we are held in the love of God. Jude began his letter by calling the people he was writing to beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Isn't that lovely? So he's saying, stay in that love. Let it be your home, your identity, your heartbeat. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Communities that are grounded in God's love will endure anything. Communities that are grounded in God's love won't lose themselves. So how do we contend? First, we remember. Second, we build ourselves up in God's love. The third plate. Reach out with mercy. Again, I don't know about you, I wasn't quite expecting that when thinking about contending. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear. I've never preached on Jude before, believe it or not. I've been preaching since 1997. So I was really interested to note that in a little letter about contending, Jude emphasizes mercy. He's calling the church not to build defensive walls, but to reach out. Your situation here is so unique, isn't it? What might it mean to really reach out to the communities that come to enjoy this wonderful space? But also reaching out to one another as we doubt, as we fall into sin. Jude, is giving us a vision of contending that's marked by gentleness and rescue. Where we meet people with mercy, not pressure or shame, because God has been merciful to us. So we contend by remembering, by building ourselves up in love, and reaching out in mercy, which then brings us to the centerpiece of our table, a crescendo of praise that flows out of us being reminded that we are held. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, glory, majesty, power, and authority before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. This doxology is a reminder that our security is not in the stability of our own making or even the clarity of our faith, as important as that is. It is in the God who keeps us. It is in God's keeping power. The one who called us will sustain us. The one who loves us will carry us. The one who redeemed us will finish his work in us. So friends, remember the truth. Build one another up in love. Reach out in mercy and trust the God who keeps us. He is our anchor. He is our hope. He will present us before his glory with great joy. And as I finish, just a reminder that even when we feel really that the space we're standing in is contested, will there even be a church here in 50 years, 100 years? Remember, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Where's the Roman Empire now? And yet here's the Church of Christ. Amen.